there's been a whole lot of talk lately regarding the end of the world. Just this past week there at work, there at the funeral home, I was gathered toward the very back, and I kept hearing these people talking about, you know, everything is coming to an end. Everything is coming to an end. All signs are pointing to destruction. All things are pointing to the very end of time. I personally believe, and I'm convinced that, yes, the end is approaching. Would you agree with that? It may not be today. It very well could be today, but the end is indeed approaching. So what that should do for you and me as children of God is, number one, it gives us something to look forward to. I know that some may think, well, that's an odd statement, but we know as children of God, as Christians, that this isn't our home, is it? This is just where we're at today. This is where God has placed us, but upon the end of the world, at the end of time, we have that day coming. It's called Judgment Day, and we know that it is around the corner. We're longing for that day. I wonder, though, when I see people and hear people talk about the end of time and how you better be sure things are right in your life, and you never know the date or the hour or the moment that your life will be required, but it warrants the question. I just wonder if many people in our world today have forgotten that Judgment Day is real. I wonder if people in our world today have maybe dismissed the judgment, the promise of the judgment, because we see so many people, some in my own family, perhaps in yours, friends that I've got, maybe some of your friends as well, that seem to have either forgotten that there's going to be a judgment, maybe they've dismissed the fact that there's going to be a judgment, or maybe they're minimizing it. Maybe they think the judgment is for other people and maybe not for themselves. Because, you know, many people in the world today have become self-righteous, if I may, in their own minds, not thinking that they need God, not thinking that they need that guidance, not thinking perhaps that they need to prepare for this promised day of judgment. I'm telling you, according to the Scripture, Judgment Day is coming. Say that with me. Judgment Day is coming. This is not some scare tactic that someone is using to try to get you or motivate you to do certain things or maybe act a certain way. Judgment Day is real and all accountable. Every single accountable human being will appear before the Lord and give an account for what he or she has done, whether good or bad. And I bring this passage of Scripture up quite often. Paul was addressing this to the church at Corinth over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, down in verse 10, where the Bible says, for we must, give me the key word here, every one of us, all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, the Bible says, whether good or what? Whether good or bad. So let us remember that passage of Scripture, that number one, listen to me, the gospel is for all, amen, but so is the judgment. Many people talk about the gospel, well, you know, the Jews thought it was just for them, and then the Greek thought maybe they was highly favored. Well, we're all highly favored in God's sight, aren't we? But not only is the gospel for all, but so is the judgment. I think about the passage I bring up in many of the lessons as well. Chris, I think about Hebrews 9:27. The Bible says, it is appointed once for man to die, but after this comes what? Very, very good, Amy. So after this comes the judgment. Folks, listen, judgment is real, and it is something that every single one of us must prepare for. We have to prepare for judgment. You understand the judgment, and I hope that you understand that the judgment is just as sure going to happen as the physical death is going to happen. Please know that judgment is totally real. It's not fictional. It's not some made-up theory or perhaps some scientific discovery, brothers and sisters. The judgment of God upon mankind is absolutely real. And I promise you, God promises you, that this judgment that we're talking about will come to pass. So let's just be certain that we are all prepared for that promised day that's coming your way and mine. Perhaps I'll never understand. I don't think I ever will understand why there are so many people in our world today that remain unprepared for this day. We know that judgment is coming. We know the requirements that God has set forth for us to be in to inherit the kingdom of heaven. And yet there's still so many people that remain unprepared. I don't understand it. Maybe they just don't believe in the judgment. Maybe they don't believe in heaven. Maybe they don't really believe in God. Maybe they don't really believe in His promises. But I believe in the promises of God. I believe that there's going to be a judgment. And I am thoroughly and truly convinced, brothers and sisters, that you and I must prepare for that promised day of judgment. Are you in agreement? I think about how, for example, someone turns 16, 17 years old, and all you hear when they're about 13, 14, 15 is, "Daddy, I cannot wait till I get my driver's license." Everybody was saying it with me. "I cannot wait to get my driver's license." But you know what? When that kid turns 16, male or female, they probably go and get the book and they start studying the book about what it means to, like Larry said, pass the stop sign or go by at 90 miles an hour. Larry should not, of all people, been talking about people speeding, should he? But am I going to bring that up? Am I going to diss him from the pulpit? Yes. I followed him to a place one day, and I thought, if we don't slow down, if this thing had wings, we'll be there in about 5 minutes because we were flying. But I will never confess that publicly. Don't worry about it, Larry. But the reality is, brothers and sisters, there is a judgment day coming. Seriously speaking, this 16-year-old that wants his driver's license is probably going to read and study the test to prepare for the test. Does that make sense? Someone desiring to be a CPA, that is an extremely hard test. You know what? There's going to be a lot of schooling. There's going to be some study. There's going to be some preparation to earn that CPA degree. Someone desiring to be an attorney. You know what? You just don't wake up one morning and say, "I'm going to go down here at Dollar General and buy me a degree to be able to practice law." No, it doesn't work that way. There's a lot of practice in there, isn't it? A lot of preparation. And the list is endless about occupations that an individual may have. You've got to prepare for it. Sadly, many people in the world today that state that they want to go to heaven. So many people today are, "Yes, I want to go to heaven. Oh, I want to go real bad." But are you preparing for that journey? Are you preparing for that place of everlasting eternity? A place that you're not going to spend eternity, a place you will be for eternity. Are you getting the picture? So are we preparing for that? Paul speaks of the judgment over in Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. He talks about that. Peter also speaks of that promised day of judgment over in 2 Peter chapter 3. Let me take you there. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look with me at 7 through 14. 2 Peter 3, 7 through 14. The Bible says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are a reserve for" what? "Fire until the day of," and watch this, "traditionally ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord is one day as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day." That just means it's a period of time. Isn't that right? "The Lord is not," Chris, listen to this, "the Lord is not slack concerning his promise." Esther, are you watching this? "As some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to" what? "Repentance." Thank you, Jerry. But the day of the Lord, this judgment day that's coming, the day that Christ comes back, will come as a thief in the night, which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. The elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it, it's going to be" what? Go to 11. "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? In holy conduct." And the Bible says also what? Godliness. Go to 12. "Looking for." That means longing for. Watch this. "And hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed, being on fire, and the elements will melt with" what kind of heat? "Nevertheless, we, according to his promises, look for the new heavens and the new earth and the righteous dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent," watch that, "be diligent to be found in God, in him, in Christ, in peace, without spot and blameless," the Bible says. Do not, brothers and sisters, allow the world to pull you back into its snare. Amen? Do not allow Satan to grab and maintain your attention. He wants to render you worthless to the church. He wants to render you worthless to God. He wants and desires to hear those words that you're going to hear if we're not ready for judgment. "Depart from me, I never knew you." That's what he wants in your life. And we're told him by Peter, 1 Peter 5, verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil." That word adversary, we're told in that, Brother Larry, that means he's your enemy. The enemy, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Folks, believe me. Believe the Bible. Don't believe me. Believe the Bible. Believe God. Judgment Day is real. We can witness in the book of Ecclesiastes as well. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, not part of it. When it's all said and done, you know what really counts? Are we right with God? Amen? Is my life conducive to what the Scripture says? If it is, we go to heaven. If it's not, we go to hell. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Watch this. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. The Bible says, fear God and keep whose commandments? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, do what the preacher says. The Bible says, do what the song leader says. The Bible says, do what the bus driver says. Larry, that's not what the Scripture says. The Bible says, fear God, respect God, have reverence for God, and keep His commandments. Very, very good. Well, this is man's all. Verse 14. For God will bring every... Oh, did y'all see this? Did you see this? For God... Did you see it? Will bring every work into judgment, including... Now, this part here will wake you up. It did me. Every secret thing, whether good or evil. Let me tell you something. I can hide stuff from Paul. I can hide stuff from you. I can hide stuff from my children, my child. I shouldn't say children, only have one. People are like, uh-oh. Grandchildren. I can hide things from my employer and everything else, but I cannot hide squat from God. Amen? Nothing but nothing is hidden from our Father above. Be ready for judgment. God's judgment will not be based upon deception. God's judgment will not be based upon some false report that somebody else has given you about it. God's judgment will be solely based upon truth. It'll be based upon and gone by His holy word. Does that make any sense to you? So God is going to judge us by His word. Listen, we know that mankind today must give an account to God. What if God's judgment, and I know I've asked you this before, but what if God's judgment had taken place yesterday afternoon at 3:17 p.m.? Would you have been found ready? If judgment would have taken place right there on the spot, seriously speaking, ask yourself that question, would I have sincerely been ready to go? Would God, when He looked at my life at 3:17 yesterday, was I viewing something that God only knows I shouldn't have been viewing? Was I listening to something that God only knows I shouldn't have been listening to? Was I participating in something that I shouldn't have been participating in? Was I blowing an opportunity to help someone that needed help? Was I making yesterday at 3:17, was it all about Jerry or was it all about God? Are y'all getting the picture? So we have to ask the question, number one, judgment day is coming. Say that with me. Judgment day is coming. Wouldn't it and shouldn't it and does it behoove us to be ready? To be ready when that day appears and we know that God's going to appear upon that day. Judgment day is coming. I promise. God promises. The Bible gives us that assurance. I just hope and pray that we'll all be ready when Christ returns. I'm going to give you three very short points this morning, things we can consider. Because Esther said, get me out already because you've got to go to the airport. Who only knows what you're doing there. Okay, anyway, let me give you three short points as we consider that. Number one, I want to talk very quickly about, and here's your first point, it's going to be real easy. Let's talk about the reality of the judgment. Does that sound okay? The reality of the judgment. When I was looking at that word reality, I'm not a Greek, you know, scholar, and Rob is. He can kind of work with you on that kind of stuff. But I did find a word in the word reality. Real. Did you see that? R-E-A-L. Reality. The word real is found inside the word reality. So I want you to know the reality of the judgment. It is real, isn't it? It is real, isn't it? Okay, I heard like three people. I just want to make sure. So let's talk about that. The reality of the certainty, if I may, of the judgment. Let's be very clear. How many people do you think will escape from God's judgment? You're catching on to the lesson. Once again, we can all consider 2 Corinthians 5:10. We looked at it a while ago. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for what we've done, whether good or bad. So rest assured that every one of us will be judged by the Lord. And here's the key. So be ready, okay? Be ready for judgment. Don't you let a husband, a wife, a brother, or a sister, son, daughter, nobody keep you from heaven. Amen? Don't do it. We love them, but they ain't, look at this good grammar, they ain't worth that, are they? I was trying to find a double negative, but I couldn't throw it in. I couldn't think of one. You know what? There is no escape from God's judgment. Thank goodness. For the Christian, that's a great thing. I'm glad there's no escape from God's judgment. There will be no American Civil Liberties Union that's going to bail you out of that one. Rest assured, it's coming. We'll also know there's no Bill of Rights, brothers and sisters, that we have. There's not going to be any plea bargaining, if I may, trying to get you out of that. There's not going to be where we have people in the courts of law today saying, well, I plead the Fifth Amendment. Well, that's not going to help you either, is it? Say it with me. Judgment Day is coming. You're not going to stand behind and hide behind that Fifth Amendment. When it comes to God's judgment upon mankind, there is no statute of limitation as well. Just because a period of time may have passed by doesn't exempt you, and it doesn't exempt me from facing Christ's own judgment. Brothers and sisters, I tell you, not cocky and not trying to be conceited, but I tell you because of my confidence in God, I long for the day of judgment. I'm looking forward to the day of judgment. I don't fear judgment because, yes, I sin. I fall short. I miss the mark, but I'm also washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's not a license to continue to sin, but it is the forgiveness of sins. Amen? It is the grace of God that came down upon me. So I don't worry. I don't get all wound up in this physical stuff. Yeah, I want to provide for my family. Yeah, I want to make sure that I'm securing ourselves for retirement. I want to try to do the things that God expects. I think God expects us to do. But this is not my home. If this is my home, I'm in a horrible situation. I'm in a horrible situation. Saw on television last night. We're right there where we live. A bunch of folks gathered around. They said it was over 2,000-something people. Jerry, I don't know if you and Amy saw that. Right there at Nolan's Road, Haywood Lane. Anybody see that? Well, they had shut the road down. Like 2,000-something people just standing out there dancing in the middle of the road and, you know, just like covered up all these different businesses and all that. I'm like, why? And I wondered how many. I'm not going to start judging because I don't have that authority. But I got to thinking because I was working on this lesson at the same time, and I was thinking, when I was watching that part of the news and I saw that, I'm thinking, how many of these same individuals could be home studying their Bible? How many of these same individuals could be home nurturing their children? How many of these same individuals could be home saving their marriage? How many of these same individuals could be working, trying to help somebody else? But that's not what we have in the world today, brothers and sisters. We've got too many people with this one key word that they hold up called entitlement. You know what I'm saying? People today think they are entitled. We Christians owe the non-Christians something. What we owe the non-Christians is a lot. We owe them the Word of God being delivered in truth. Amen? We owe them compassion and love, but we don't owe them anything else. We don't have to cater in. We don't have to be part of the cruelty. We don't have to be part of the evil that they are participating in. So many people get confused. Well, what about Jesus when he stayed with the sinners? Jesus had a lot more strength than I do. If I'm hanging around with a bunch of sinners, it ain't going to be long till I'm participating in what they do. Amen. You know that I had a struggle. I told you when I came here 9 years ago that I had a struggle with bad language. Thank you, God, it's gotten so much better. But if I started hanging around with people that's using foul language all the time, let me tell you, it's going to be no time. Boom. I don't need to be in the pulpit. An alcoholic can't hang out with a bunch of alcoholics. Amen. A drug addict don't need to be hanging out with a bunch of drug addicts. A Christian doesn't need to be hanging out with a bunch of sinners. Now, we need to be good to them. We need to love them. We need to pray for them. We need to encourage them. We don't ever need to talk down to them. We need to talk to them. Amen? But the reality is, people can talk about Jesus all they want, darling, and say, well, Jesus ate with sinners. Yes, he did. But Jesus had a whole lot more power than he did. A lot more strength. Jesus could not have been influenced by the negative. Matter of fact, I can prove that to you, Amy, because Jesus had fasted 40 days, 40 nights. Afterwards, Jesus was very hungry. The devil took him upon an exceedingly high mountain and said, if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give you everything. Is that what he told him over in Matthew 4? Jesus looked at him like, here's what he said. He said, dude. He probably didn't say dude. He says something like, are you for real? This belongs to me anyway. That's what he said. Chris, that is what he said. He said, this belongs to me anyway. He said, as it is, you may know, He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Y'all believe judgment day is coming? You believe we should be prepared for it? You know that, and I say you can't go and stand behind all this other stuff, statute of limitations, that don't change anything. We can't plea insanity. You know, there's some nut cases out there today that'll plea insanity. I should have been more sensitive to that. There are people out there with some struggles that plea insanity. No, they're nut cases. That go out there and plea. When you have your plea already prepared before you even commit the crime, what you're going to say to the judge, you're nuts. Call it what it is. But there's people today that think that they can plea insanity. Oh, God, I'm sorry. I guess you knew that I was a nutcase, and that's why I didn't respond. No, it's not going to work, is it? We also need to know that there's no higher court that we can take it to. When we hear God's judgment upon us, we can't say, well, God, I appreciate what you said. Oh, really, I don't appreciate what you said, so I'm going to take it to a higher court. God is as high as you're going to get, amen? So why not live our lives conducive to what he says? Why not live a life, because I promise you it's the most rewarding life that you're going to live. I cannot imagine not being able to go to my Father in prayer. I cannot imagine not being able to go to God with these burdens that I carry. Cast all your cares upon him, the Bible says, because he cares for you. We're not going to please insanity. In the book of Romans, y'all already there probably, aren't you? I figured that. Romans 14. 10 through 14. Y'all want to look at that with me? Romans chapter 14, 10 through 12. The Bible tells us these words, but why do you judge your who? Why do you show contempt for your who? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. This passage of Scripture tells us how many are going to be before Christ? All of us. For it is written, as I live, says who? Now, this next word is very important. What is the next word? Every. That means nobody is left out, right? Every accountable human being. Every knee shall bow to me. And watch the next word. Every. Very good, Heather. Every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give. Keep going. To who? Each one shall give an account of himself to God. Many appointments, Jerry Jr., that we're going to make, right? And then there's some appointments, Amy and Courtney, that we're going to cancel. There's going to be some appointments we're not going to be able to make. You're going to make this appointment. So be prepared for it. Yes or no? Does everybody now believe in the reality of God's judgment? The point number two that I want to consider is this. Here's something comforting. God's judgment is righteous. That's what I love. God's judgment is righteous. Please know that God's judgment is real. It is righteous. Righteous signifies without prejudice, without partiality. God will render to every man according to his deeds, according to Romans chapter 2, down in verse 6. So it doesn't matter, and I've said this before, it doesn't matter what level of education an individual may have. It doesn't change the fact that you will face God's judgment. Amen? It doesn't matter how popular you are, or how financially well-off an individual may be. It doesn't matter how big or how small your house is or what kind of car you drive. You and I will face God's righteous judgment. Righteous means holy, doesn't it? God will judge you and me by his holy word, his truth, and his promise. So please be sure that we are prepared, brothers and sisters, for this very day that we're talking about today. This day of judgment. We better be prepared. And we better be prepared for this righteous judgment that awaits for everyone. Those that fail to prepare are those that will be cast away. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians, if you don't mind. Let me show you something. Boys, it's very important. All of it is. Those individuals that do not know God as they should know God. Now, there's a difference between knowing God and knowing about God. Do you agree with that? There are some people that know of God, but there's people that doesn't know God. Well, I'm going to show you something, what happens to individuals that refuse to obey the gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 89, the Bible says, in taking on those who do not know who, and on those who do not, keyword, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. 9. These not might be, not possibly, the Bible says what? Thank you, Darlene. Shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. That is probably one of the most strongest passages regarding the judgment, isn't it? If you are not prepared, that passage of Scripture fits comfortably in your palm. So let's be sure that we're right. We can also think about Matthew 25, verse 46, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So since God Himself will judge us with righteous judgment, God tells us how to be made whole. He tells us how to be righteous, Romans 1, 16 through 18. So remember this, our righteous God is so awesome. And let me tell you something, He tells you and me how to be justified, doesn't He? He tells us how we can have our sins justified in Romans chapter 5, down in verse 1. He tells us how we can be redeemed according to Romans chapter 5, down in verse 10. God tells you and me how to be saved, Romans 10, 13 through 21. God's judgment, brothers and sisters, is righteous. You and I will be judged by His word. Thank you, God above. Amen? So I hope that you're ready for God's righteous judgment. The third and final point, this lesson goes home with you. This is a little bit redundant from what I started out with this morning. I want us to understand that everything will be revealed at judgment. All secret things will be revealed at judgment. Once again, let me remind you and myself that nothing but nothing is hidden from God. He knows exactly, listen to me, He knows exactly what we think we may have hidden in our hearts. God knows what we've stored in our minds. He knows what we have in our hearts. I need to be reminded, you need to be reminded quite often, that God knows the intention of the heart, does He not? And the actions of the heart. Hebrews chapter 4, 12 and 13 talks about just how sharp God's word really is. To be reminded of what the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, down in verse 5. The Bible says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsel of the heart, that each one's praise will come from who? Don't let us forget Luke 8, 17. Let us consider what Jesus said there. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that it will not be known and come to light. The Lord's going to shine a light upon that, isn't He? He's going to inspect that pretty clear. Luke 12, 2. For there is nothing, watch this, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. That's some strong, strong passages of Scripture. Please know that nothing, brothers and sisters, seriously speaking, is hidden from God. You and I, as I said a while ago, we can hide things from our boss. We can hide things from our spouse, from our children, grandchildren, etc. But nothing will be hidden from God. You cannot fool God. Amen? All right. Listen, life can be hard. You don't need me up here behind this piece of wood telling you that. It can be very difficult, especially the Christian life. I remember these people telling me, oh, when you become a Christian, best life ever. It is, but it was the hardest life I've ever had to live. Anybody else besides the preacher? Because then I... Harvey back there, yeah, I'm with you, dude. So the reality is this, man, when I became a Christian, all of a sudden I started recognizing conviction. I started recognizing things that in the Scripture started correcting me, and then I thought, well, I don't really like the Bible that much. Well, how can you become a Christian and not like the Bible? Didn't like it, not a drop. Jerry Ladd, that is the worst thing anybody could ever say in the presence of these children. I did not like the Bible, period. I love it now. Because I didn't like the way it punched me in the jaw. I didn't like the way the Bible kicked me in the gut. I didn't like the sickness that I felt after I studied the Bible. I didn't say read it, I said study it. So when I studied the Bible and found out that I was in error, especially the part where I was fired. Did you know the Bible fired me? And I'm still not happy about that, but it fired me, Robbie. I used to be a real good judge. I knew exactly what people was thinking. Matter of fact, I said it before in my marriage. Even people I didn't even know, I said, I know what you're thinking. How many people has ever done that? Don't be lying back there. How many people's done that? Now our liars are coming out of the woodwork. But the Bible, seriously speaking, fired me from being a judge. Thank God. Amen. The Bible fired me from trying to be the person of correction. The Bible fired me from me thinking that, Jerry, you got to get over it. If everybody doesn't say things exactly the way you say them, that don't mean that they're the bad person. It could mean that you're wrong. So it took some humility. It took me having to become humble. It took me off of, I've heard people use this expression. Anybody ever heard this? Jerry got knocked off his high horse. Well, what is a low horse? Anyway, I've never understood that. Even Dad used to say before he died, Chris, you need to come down off your high horse. I'm like, what's a low horse? And then he hit me and I left it alone. The reality is, the Bible convicted me very strongly, so I'm being honest with you. I didn't like it at first. But now that I love God so much, now that I'm longing for heaven, now that I know that judgment is real, now that I know that all I want to do is satisfy my Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for the Bible. Amen? Because it tells me the way into salvation. So, yes, everything will be revealed at judgment. Numbers chapter 32, verse 23. Now, I want to make sure we get this. Then we understand we can't hide our sins. But the Bible says, but if you do not do so, take note. Then take note. Your sins against the Lord, and be sure that your sins will find you out. I just want to make sure I get that last part. That your sins will find you out. You can't hide from your own sins, can you? There's consequences of sin. Yes, a Christian has forgiveness of sins, but don't think that because we have the forgiveness of our sins from God, that there's no earthly consequence of our sins. Are there consequences? And should be. Amen? So Larry, slow down. This is a true story. I'm going to close the lesson because that's what God gets to that. Let's get to what's important. I was on the interstate. I was in my company vehicle back when I was doing water treatment. I was on I-65. Matter of fact, I was going out to Franklin, Highway 96. There was a big hospital out there, Williamson Medical Center. And I was going to put in these deionization tanks. And I was moving on, and a fellow named Russell South. Jerry, you remember Russell? He and I was riding alone. And I did say this, guilty of all charges. I'm cruising along. It looked like a big U-Haul truck. It looked like. And it's loud. And but I look, you know, I'm just kind of riding. I'm looking down the interstate, and I'm driving along. And this guy blew by me. And I said these words. I said, look at that fool. That's wrong. I shouldn't have said that. I meant it. But I said, look at that fool, Russell. He's going to kill somebody. And Russell, I said, I bet you he's doing 75, 80 miles an hour. He goes, Jerry, you're doing almost 90. I said, shut up, Russell. But the reality is, you notice a while ago when I said I didn't like the Bible because it fired me from being judged. I was judging him. I was flying, so I think he was maybe giving me a message. The reality is, let's just break it down. Judgment day is coming, isn't it? And isn't there's no way you can get out of it. No way you should want to get out of it. If you're a Christian, you're longing for that day. If you're not a Christian, you're worried to death, aren't you? But today, all things can be made right. We can all leave the building with the same confidence, the same blessed assurance, that even on judgment, even though we've got difficulties among us, even though we have these challenges, in God, I can do all things through Christ who, very good, all things through Christ who strengthens me. Today, if you're not a Christian, I beg you to become one, because if you're not a Christian, you're going to hell when judgment day gets. If you are a Christian, you're going to heaven if you're faithful. Amen? So today, become one. You hear God's word, and then you believe it. Believe in God's word, you're going to change the way you're living. You're going to put God first. It's called repentance. You're going to repent of your sins. Living for Jesus. Make a confession in the presence of a witness or witnesses that you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. He died upon the cross. He was buried. How many days later? 3 days. He rose again. Today he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, isn't he? He's our mediator. He's my attorney. He's my lawyer. He's my Savior. I have to believe that. Upon that confession of faith, I am baptized, aren't I? For the forgiveness of my sins. It's not a ceremonial act. It's not anything theatrical. It is because I love the Lord and the Bible says I got to be baptized to go to heaven. Yes or no? I come out of that water grave of baptism, dead to sin, alive to Christ. I live faithful unto death and into my death. And always remember that we are indeed, perhaps today you are a Christian, but you realize that difficulties are upon you. You need the prayers of the congregation. Maybe you're a Christian, but you've walked away from the fold of safety. Stop beating yourself up today. get back in the church. Let us be human. I mean, that didn't sound right. Stop beating yourself up today. That's pretty good. I got out of here. If you have walked away from the phone, come back. Let us help you. Let us pray with you for you, help you, and encourage you any way that we can. If you have a need, you need it all. You're invited to come right now. Let's gather.